Hello, and welcome to the College Football Preview Podcast presented by 411 Sports World. I am your host, Lacey Dawson, and today's panel of experts includes Mr. 411, T-Rock, our guest correspondent, and Zachariah. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves. In order.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Mr. 411. And I'm so excited about today because this is going to be our first college football preview edition to the 411 podcast. And I'm looking forward to having a good time with the panel and our left. My college experience is that I've just been an avid fan for years and years and years. And I've grown up in the SEC country, but I'm one of those that have grown up in this area, but I'm also aware of the world outside of the SEC. So I want to bring a unique perspective to tonight's show. T-Rock, your turn, buddy.
Hello, this is T-Rock. Glad to be back on the 411 show. Looking forward to tonight's discussion. Especially, this upcoming season, in my opinion, we may have a repeat of the championship from last year. So I'm certainly looking forward to this discussion. And someone like Mr. 411, living in the SEC country, but not necessarily an SEC fan. So I'm going to bring a kind of a Midwest perspective to the discussion and kind of represent the Big Ten. Mr. Zach.
Welcome back.
Hi, I'm Zach. If you don't know who the fuck I am, that's your fault because you ain't been listening to the show because I've been on about 14 or 15 of them. I'm here to talk football, and this is my time of the year. Because I'm a football guy. Played it in high school. Loved it before I played it in high school. Played it in college. Still follow it now, avidly. And I'm excited. I'm a UGA fan, but I am still objective enough to look at all these and give a great perspective of what's going on. So I'm ready. I hope y'all are ready. And go Dawgs.
All right. Well, you know, that this promises to be a very interesting evening. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from all of you, Mr. 411. I like your perspective. T-Rock, we're glad to have you back. Zachariah is operating with the usual chip on his shoulder. But, you know, we wouldn't have him any other way. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started on our main event, which is going to be, they're going to be covering most of the divisions, the most relevant divisions, the ones that are going to have the most impact on this year. It's going to be ACC and Notre Dame, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the Big 10, and, of course, the SEC. So just before I turn it over to you gentlemen, remember, let's keep it clean. Well, clean as possible. Let's not no hitting below the belt. Everybody go to your corners and come out swinging. Good luck.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's get it started with the ACC.
Well, I'll kick it off with the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. I have one of the division winners coming out of the ACC will be the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, and I really like this team. I like that they have a unique style of play. While the majority of the college teams are playing more, you know, the up-tempo style, wildcat type of offense, read and react type of offenses, Georgia Tech is running smash-mouth football. They're coming right at you. And they don't even have any shame in doing it. And with the 49-31 stomping of Mississippi State last year in the Orange Bowl, I can see Justin Thomas coming back this year, doing wonderful things at the quarterback position. So Paul Johnson, he loves that wishbone type of offense, running that quarterback, and they're going to wear down their opponents. So I have Georgia Tech as a favorite to come out of the ACC. They will face in Charlotte at the ACC championship game the Clemson Tigers. Clemson will be a tough foe, but I have Georgia Tech winning this conference.
Okay. Let's see, Rob. Can we get your take on the ACC?
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with Mr. 411 here. And Tyrone, Mr. 411, excuse me. I really agree with you. Most fans probably think the team coming out of the ACC this year would, they'll probably still give Florida State a chance and maybe Clemson, but I'm with you on picking Georgia Tech. I think they're returning a lot of starters. They finished off real strong last year, especially in that bowl game when they put the beat down on Mississippi State, the other top SEC team. Florida State. I think they're going to have question marks at the quarterback spot. A lot of uncertainty there. And then with Clemson, I think they lost a lot of starters. They're going to be kind of young. So I'm going to go with Georgia Tech also. And I really didn't get a chance to look at the schedule to see which game that I'm really looking forward to. But I think, does Georgia Tech match up with Florida State this year?
Oh, yeah, that's the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's in Georgia Tech this year.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that game as far as that conference goes. I think that's going to be the game of the year in that conference. And, but I don't think the best player in that conference is going to be playing in that game. I think right now the best player in that conference is with the most potential. And I think if he stays healthy this year, it'll be Deshaun Watson. Yeah, the quarterback for Clemson. He's shown a lot. He was showing a lot prior to his injury. And I think he's going to just pick up from where he left off. And he's going to have a pretty solid year.
Wow.
Yeah, I hear you there, T-Rock, on that. And the reason why I did, I stayed away from Clemson as far as winning it all. You know, Deshaun is coming back next this season, but you know, man, tore ACL, you know, broken finger. I mean, he's coming back from injuries, and you know, they also lost Vic Beasley and Grady Garrett, so they got to replace some pieces there. And Tech is just, to me, going to be the stronger team this year.
Okay, so are you done, Zachariah? Do you think you can make it a clean sweep for Georgia Tech?
Well, first I just want to kind of go with that if we're looking at the best coach in the conference, I would go with Paul Johnson. So Georgia Tech has an advantage there. And I also think Georgia Tech actually has the best player in the conference, Justin Thomas. I know T-Rock said Deshaun Watson, but talent-wise, I would say Watson is definitely – more talented than Thomas, but as far as on-the-field production and getting it done, I like Thomas. If I'm going for the game of the year, I think the big game of the year is going to be Florida State at Clemson. I think the winner of that game goes on to win that division, and I have Clemson winning that game. And I actually got Clemson beating Georgia Tech in the conference championship and going on for bigger things in the postseason. The reason why I'm picking Clemson, I understand that they lost part of their defense, but when you add Watson, if he does live up to that talent that they're saying, along with the skilled position players they got at the running back and wide receiver positions, I just think overall they have more talent than Georgia Tech has. Georgia Tech, to a degree, is kind of gimmicky because they run the they run that triple option, and you know that's good when you can't prepare for it, when you're not used to seeing it or whatever, and you can go out there and you can get some teams. But when you've had time to see it and you played against it, which Clemson has familiarity with it, I just think overall Clemson is going to end up winning the conference. But I still think Georgia Tech is going to have a good season, a very good season. They just won't win the conference.
Oh. Any rebuttals on that?
Oh, I couldn't say it any better than that.
I thought it was well said. Now, I have a question for all of you, and it's just a simple one because I think I know that all of you know that I'm not very familiar with college football, but I'm trying to learn something from you guys. So
that's
I have
okay.
a question about this division is called, it says the ACC and Notre Dame, and yet none of you mentioned Notre Dame. Why is how is Notre Dame going to do in this division? How did they come out of this? Because I was looking at some early polls, and Notre Dame was in the top 25. I know we're not really going to go over that tonight, but I just wanted to know how that works out as being a part of this conference.
Well, I didn't mention Notre Dame because there's nothing really to mention. They'll lose they'll lose their customary four or five games somewhere up in there. Notre Dame has been for a long, long time. The Lou Holtz era passed. Is there a lot of hype? Even when they went to the national championship game, that team wasn't worried of being in the national championship. They just, based on schedule,
and they proved it.
Ended up getting there. Yes, they did. They got dominated. So, Notre Dame is, they'll make a bowl. They'll get a lot of TV or whatever. I'm sure even College Game Day will show up there for some game or whatever to set it up. But Notre Dame just ain't the team that they used to be back in the 80s and the early 90s. And I get tired of people. Or I shouldn't say people. I get tired of their network, NBC, and other people that can or have some of the gain off of Notre Dame, and Mike Golick on his morning show pushing Notre Dame on us, trying to make us believe they're more than what they are. They've proven what they are over the years.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well,
I just was curious. Okay,
well,
so I think we can safely – can we move on from the ACC to the Big 12 now?
Well, can we finish? I want to chime in as well.
I'd like
too.
To chime in,
okay,
too.
Sure, absolutely.
T, you want to go, you can go ahead first, Mr. 411.
Hey, I appreciate that. I didn't mention Notre Dame because, you know, it's just something about, you know, when you mention a conference and then you have to mention a team separate. You know, Notre Dame, either be in the ACC or just don't be in any conference. I mean, you know, you're throwing your weight around, you know, like, you know, you got all these other teams that are playing either in a conference or, you know, independent. Just be one or the other. You know, you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. And I have Notre Dame, you know, at 8-5, but I don't think that that's enough for them to win the conference. And they have 18 returning starters. Golston transferred from Notre Dame to Florida State. So he's going to we have that. And then Malik Zaire, he threw 35 passes as a quarterback for Notre Dame. 35 passes, that's all he has. So that's what they're bringing to the table. I just don't think that's enough for them to win the ACC.
Okay.
Well, look, I'm not on the Notre Dame bandwagon, but the truth of the matter, in my opinion, is, you know, Zaire, he's a young talent. And I think he's going to do pretty well with Notre Dame. I have them right now probably third in the conference. And if they pick up where they left off last year in the bowl game when they beat LSU, which many would say is probably the number two team in the SEC, and they beat them in convincing fashion, and that was with Malik Zaire at the helm, and that may have been his first, maybe second game playing. So they're going to turn a lot of stars. Like I said, I didn't mention them because I didn't think they would win the conference, but they're going to be competitive, and I expect them to probably lose 3 or 4 games and probably finish maybe third. But
at the same time, if they get a couple of breaks throughout the season, you know, that could determine whether they win another game or two. So
okay.
I think they're going to be competitive. And like I said, I'm not normally with the Notre Dame hype, but just looking at what they're returning and how they finished the year off last year, I think I think they may play pretty good ball this year.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you clearing that up for me. And, you know, the ACC, it kind of shakes out. We got 2-1. So Georgia Tech is what comes out of our ACC preview. Now, moving on to the Big 12, I would like to start with T-Lock.
All right, Big 12. Let me see here. I would probably say TCU would probably be the team to come out of the Big 12. I know a lot of people or the media kind of high on Baylor, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty with Baylor, especially with them losing their quarterback from last year. I think there's going to be a little uncertainty there. I don't know really how they're going to look at the quarterback position. And I know TCU is returning a lot, you know, especially the running for the Heisman. They got a real solid team up and down. So I'm expecting them to win that conference. And the best player out of that conference, I think, is Boykin, their starting quarterback. And probably their head coach is being the best coach also.
This is all TCU all the time for you?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
From this conference this year, yep.
I'm writing it all down, so don't mind me. So, Zachariah, what say you?
Well, I'm going to start with game of the year for the Big 12 is going to be, of course, Baylor, TCU. That goes without saying. Mm-hmm. That will probably decide who the conference champ is, and I also think that game right there will be for a spot in the college football playoff. So who wins that will most likely win the conference and will, go to the college football playoff.
Okay.
Excuse me. I would put Art Briles as the best coach in the Big 12. I know Bob Stoops is in there, and it's going to kind of go against some of my rankings a little later on with the coaches, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Art Briles is the best, not because of championship resume or anything, but if you look at what Baylor used to be
mm-hmm.
and what he's gotten them to, it's amazing. He has done some great work with that. He still has a ways to go as far as what he wants to get to, but he realistically has Baylor in the area where they could possibly compete for a national title. And I got to believe 5, definitely 10 years ago, no one would have thought that was possible. So he's doing an awesome job at that.
I Trayvon can assure Boykin, you are correct.
Yeah. Trayvon Boykin, I think, hands down, is the best player in the Big 12. And it's funny because 2 years ago, people were wondering if this guy would be able to play the quarterback position. And now he looks like a pro at it. So he's easily the best player. Oklahoma, Texas, those are teams right now that are traditional powers. They're kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be in my mix for the championship, as I just said, of the conference. And I have TCU winning in part because they'll be playing Baylor at home, but they also have a dynamic offense. They're bringing back 10 starters to include wide receiver Josh Doctson. So they should win the conference, and I actually – don't think it's going to be too difficult for them because I'm not quite sure how Baylor is going to shake out at the quarterback position. I know they'll get stats from the quarterback position, but I'm not so sure that they'll actually get the really that crunch time or that production that you need when you're playing against elite level competition.
Mm-hmm.
But both teams should have pretty good seasons with TCU having a little bit better one.
Okay, so that's 2 votes for TCU. Mr. 411, will you bring something else to the table, or are you going to make it a clean sweep for TCU?
Well, I want to bring something else to the table. However, I have a clean sweep here, TCU.
All right.
Now, there's death and there's taxes. There's two things that you just can't avoid. But the third thing that you can't avoid is in the Big 12, Baylor versus TCU will determine who wins this conference. And, I mean, they're on a collision course. Last season, 12-1 was TCU, 11-2 Baylor. They were the class of this league. They'll be the class of this league again this season. TCU, I mean, they have the quarterback in Trevon Boykin. He's coming back. He threw for almost 4,000 yards last year and also rushed for 700 yards. I mean, the man accounted for 42 touchdowns, so they're coming in with some high power. Baylor, they're going to be high-powered again as well. You know, the number one offense in the nation on last season. They're bringing back KD Cannon. He had 58 catches and over 1,000 yards with eight touchdowns. And then the other wideout, who's a senior this year, Jay Lee, he averaged 15 yards per reception. So it's going to be a high-power battle. It'll probably be like the score will probably be 99 to 98. somebody missed a free throw at the end. But it's going to come down to that, and TCU is going to pull it out. So all college football world needs to pay attention to November 27th. Baylor and TCU, they are on a collision course. But I do have TCU winning this conference.
Okay, well, it looks like that wraps up the Big 12 pretty nicely and puts a bow on it for TCU. And our next target is going to be the Pac-12. The Pac-12 conference, and let's get that started with Mr. Zachariah.
All right. Game of the year for me is going to be UCLA at USC. I believe these are the two best teams in the conference, and they just so happen to be in the same division, which could actually end up being good for them because that means the loser of that game can still have a pretty good postseason bowl game that they can go to. I would go with David Shaw, the best coach at Stanford. I'm sorry, David Shaw is the best coach, and he's at Stanford. The reason why I say David Shaw is because Stanford has probably higher academic – well, not even probably. They have higher academic requirements than most of the teams that are out there. And he's still been finding a way to get in – quality athletes and put some good teams on the field and compete. So it's gone down a little bit, especially after Andrew Luck left, but he's still been doing a pretty good job as far as that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as who wins the conference, I'm going with USC. I preface that with saying, depending on how this thing goes with their coach, Steve Sarkisian, that could stop them from winning, but as far as overall, they've got the best quarterback in the conference. They have a good group of wide receivers, good defensive linemen, good linebackers, solid secondary, running backs are nice. They have rebounded quite well from the sanctions, and honestly, Southern Cal is a hot spot for recruits. They love the USC campus.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're getting off of these sanctions, they should go back to being to a power. The question will be, is Sarkisian the guy that can lead the way? But I see USC making it, winning the conference, and they're going to have some good postseason aspirations.
Well, good. And let's see, how about you, T-Bob? Can you give us some insight into the Pac-12?
Well, I kind of side with Mr. Zachariah. That's if I differ on one of the teams that were challenged for the conference. I like USC. I think they seem to be heading in the right direction. The past couple classes, they've had some very solid recruiting classes, and I think it's starting to show on the field. And they're getting back to playing USC type ball. I think a lot of people are still kind of high on Oregon. I think they'll be competitive, but again, I'm just a little concerned at the quarterback spot. I don't know how they're going to look there after losing, you know, their star quarterback from last year. But there's a dark horse in this conference, and I think that can make a little noise, and that's Arizona State. And that's what I'm kind of looking at, the talent USC. Now, they're on the same side, so that means if USC is playing in the championship game, that means Arizona State is not going to be there. But I think they're going to be a team to watch from that conference. Not a lot of people are talking about them, but if they ended up winning that conference, it wouldn't surprise me.
And that was Arizona State.
Arizona State.
All right.
Yeah.
Write all this down.
Talk about it again. And probably top head coach in that conference, I would go with David Shaw. So he hasn't had the most talent there, but he's done well with what he's had there. You know, as far as the recruiting classes go. Top player in that conference. I don't really know who to say right now.
It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to have a favorite.
Yeah, I'll stand pat on that.
Yeah.
But my emphasis in that conference is watch out for Arizona State.
Okay. Well, that is duly noted. Mr. 411, please let us know your thoughts on the Pac-12.
All right. Well, Mr. 411 is here. All right. Look, the Pac-12 is packed with solid teams. You're looking at, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Arizona State, Arizona, Utah. Nobody ever talks about the Utah Utes, and they always give teams fit. So the Pac-12 is packed. And I have, in the Northern Division, I'm going with Oregon. I'm going with the Ducks. The high speed, the high tempo offense, they will win that Northern Division. Even though they lost Marcus Mariota, they brought in the transfer from Eastern Washington, Vernon Adams Jr. And I'm a junior, so I'm sure this junior is going to show up and
is
show
that
out.
Is connection?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's going to show up and he's going to show out there in Oregon. They're going to put points on the board winning North. Now, in the South Division, I also have the USC Trojans winning this division. It seems like over the last couple seasons, after the sanctions, after losing all the scholarships and start gaining scholarships back, they have been recruiting, they have been reloading, and they're bringing back a fifth-year senior at quarterback, so you have to love that. You have to love having a veteran quarterback heading into your season. So I have USC winning the South. They have some tough matchups, though. They got some big games with UCLA, at Utah. They got to play Arizona, and they have to play at Arizona State. However, they're going to pull those games out, and they're going to win that division. And then they will win the Pac-12.
USC wins the Pac-12. All right, with Mr. 411's choice of USC, that gives us a consensus in the Pac-12 of USC wins 2-1 over Arizona State. Now, everybody take a deep breath, step back,
yes,
stretch, do what you need to do because the Big Ten is coming up, and this is sure to be a heated segment. So everybody take a deep breath, calm down, and let's get it started. I would like to start this segment, the Big Ten, with Mr. 411.
Mr. 411.
Mm-hmm.
Back to back. Reminds me of the... Speaking of back to back, guess who I have winning again this year?
I can't guess.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Okay.
This team comes into this season the first ever unanimous number one consensus team heading into the season. So with 61 number one votes. This team is loaded. I don't even care who starts at quarterback. It could be J.T. Barrett. It could be Cardale Jones. And as T-Rock likes to hear, Cardale Jones. So, this team, you know, they opened up playing Virginia Tech. They won't get upset this year. They'll stomp them. As a matter of fact, I have Ohio State not losing a game this entire season. So, not only are they going to win the Big Ten, oh, I'll save that for later. So, Big Ten, I'm not even going to talk about any other teams. It's Ohio State over Urban Meyer. He does it again.
Wow, I felt like I was talking to T-Rock right there. Was that Mr. 411?
He's confirmed. That was Mr. 411 giving you the 411.
Okay, I smell a payoff here. But in the interest of knocking that all to hell, let's have a chat with Zachariah. Ask him about how he feels about the Big Ten. What say you, Zach?
Well, it goes without saying the best coach in the Big Ten is Urban Meyer.
Sure.
He's second best coach in the game. So he's easily the best coach in the Big Ten. But I will say this. Jim Harbaugh is really right there as a coach. He just doesn't have any titles when you add up his pro resume and his college resume. So I expect Jim Harbaugh to start doing some pretty good things at Michigan because he's an outstanding coach in his own right. Best player in the Big Ten is J.T. Barrett to me. He was awesome last year. I think he's a better quarterback than Cardale Jones. And unlike Mr. 411, I think Ohio State has a good chance to actually lose at Virginia Tech because I don't know if J.T. Barrett is going to be behind center. Or that game will be at least closer than what people may think it is. I don't think they're going into Blacksburg and blowing up out Virginia Tech because they didn't blow out Virginia Tech last year. But Virginia Tech just has a way of playing that they can kind of make you play down to them. But as far as everything else Mr. 411 says, Ohio State is loaded. Ezekiel Elliott is an outstanding back. He's probably the second best back in college football. So, and he'll be going to the, I would say he's going to be, don't know if he'll be a first-round pick, but he's definitely going to be one of the top backs available in the upcoming NFL draft. They lost their top wide receiver in Devin Smith, but, I mean, they're Ohio State. They got other guys that can run up and down the field, so. Their offensive line, if you go by what Phil Steele said, is the fourth best offensive line in the nation. So they're going to really be able to pound guys with that. And then defensively, they got Joey Bosa. And I'm probably feeling some of T-Rock's thunder, so I'll try and stay off of that. But they're a really complete team. Their challenge is going to come from Michigan State, which that's going to be the game of the year, but I don't think Michigan State is good enough. Michigan State is getting a lot of pub this year, and they've had a good run. Mark D'Antonio gets a lot of pub as a head coach and being kind of this elite guy, even though he hasn't really won a national title or anything like that. So he hasn't done anything special for you to put him in this category above Bob Stoops or even Les Miles to me, but. He's been getting a lot of that, but he's a good coach. He's picked up a Michigan State. I don't think he has the horses to compete with Ohio State. And then when you look at some of the other schools, as I said, Harbaugh at Michigan, he doesn't have it yet. Give him about 2 years, and I think he'll have in his type of players where he can compete better with the big boys. Penn State with James Franklin, Penn State is all right. They're dealing with their sanctions, but they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin is another one. They're okay. So Ohio State, I think I pretty much already gave it away. It's going to win the conference because they're just clearly better than everybody else.
Wow.
So,
in a shocking turn of events, Zachariah has donned an Ohio State cheerleader's uniform.
I haven't done that. I just, as I said, I'm objective on here.
I am absolutely in awe of your ability to be impartial in the face of.
I'm a football expert. I just look at what it says. And it
of your arch nemesis.
It out.
Mr. T-Rock. Wow.
Look.
You know, they've done most of your work for you, Mr. T-Rock. Please bring it home.
I know. You're exactly right. They really have. And you know, the praise Mr. Zachariah just gave to him, I'm still getting up off the floor. You know.
Did it bring a tear to your eye? Because it brought one to mine.
It did knock me out of my chair. That's what happened.
Wow.
But look, everything they said, most of everything they said was correct. Buckeyes loaded. Probably got the most talented team in the nation right now, as far as the starters go. This team, I predict, will probably have 4 or 5 first rounders this year. Starting with Mr. Ezekiel Elliott, he'll be the first back to go into the league. Michael Thomas, he'll probably be the first receiver to come off the board.
Mm-hmm.
We already know Joey Bosa will probably be the #1 pick in the league next year. So, you know, they're returning. They lost a couple star wide receivers, but the talent they got there now, the wide receiver spot is pretty plentiful, and they'll do fine. Defensively, they haven't lost much. They lost a defensive tackle, which was a good one. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the talent is there to replace them and to keep the machine going. So as far as winning the conference, that'll be the Buckeyes. Best coach in the conference, Mr. Urban Meyer. Best player in the conference, I would get at Mr. Ezekiel Elliott. Game of the year, it'll be the Michigan State Ohio State game. Now, I do agree with Mr. Zachariah as far as the Virginia Tech game. It's not going to be a blowout like many people might think, especially with the injuries we've had at the receiver spot, in addition to the suspension. Our probably second, the guy that should have been starting at the second spot, he broke his leg in practice yesterday, so now he's out and has to go along with the two other starters, Jalen Marshall and Corey Smith. So they're going to be hurting a little bit at the receiver spot. The guys that they got coming in that will probably be playing that spot opposite Michael Thomas. They're young, don't have a whole lot of experience from that at that position or as far as games go. But I think they'll find a way to take care of it. They'll probably beat Virginia Tech probably by 10. I think it'll be a lot closer game than what most people think. But, of course, the following week, all the starters will be back, and I think they'll continue to roll through the season. And, you know, what else can I say? Go Bucks.
Okay. Well, I am just really blown away by the support for Ohio State. It's a unanimous decision here. Ohio State is a clear-cut winner. They're the defending champs, and you know, everybody agrees that everybody seems to agree that they're well on their way to back-to-back. We haven't gotten to that part yet, I know, but you know, the unanimous nature of this is really a beautiful thing to see. Now it is time to move on to the SEC. And I would ask for T-Rock to please extend the same type of courtesy to Zachariah that he has extended to you.
Omaha, Omaha.
Let's remember, no low blows.
Omaha.
Omaha.
Oh,
Certainly.
Omaha, I'll bet. Never mind.
Okay. Well, since you're back, I want to go ahead and use you up while we got you. So we're going to get you started off for the SEC, and Mr. T-Rock. Can you just tell us what your take is on the SEC for 2015? Keeping in mind that Zachariah is the world's most enthusiastic UGA fan.
Okay.
Can you do all that at one time?
I'll try my best.
Okay. Appreciate you.
Game of the year, I'll go with Georgia against Alabama. I think Alabama, I think they're kind of, you know, they like to say they replace and not rebuild, or reload and not rebuild. But I think this year will probably be their most challenging year or challenging season, probably over the last 5 or 6 years. And I think Georgia got a lot of talent. They've been recruiting well over the past several years. Got the second best running back in the game in the nation right now. It's right behind Ezekiel Elliott.
Bullshit.
Their question mark.
Calm down.
Similar to Alabama's, is their quarterback play. I don't. You know, it's kind of an unknown. Don't really know what to expect out of them. But he's got, you know, like I say, he got the second best running back in the nation. If they just continue to feed him the ball, they got good running backs behind Chubb with Sonny Michael. You know, they can run the game. I mean, they can run the ball and control most games. But again, they tend to lose a game or two each year that they shouldn't. This will be their best chance to get Bama, but I'm not so sure that they will this year. I think because they're Georgia, I think Alabama will probably end up winning that game. And they'll probably lose another one that they probably shouldn't lose. Maybe South Carolina is always a challenge for them every year. But the best coach in that conference is Nick Saban. Best player, I think, is Chubb. I go with Chubb with that. As far as championship goes, it'll probably be Georgia from that side, maybe, depending on, you know, again, if they win the game, they should win. They should represent the Eastern side. That's kind of hard to say.
You have to say.
I know. I'm thinking.
You're tap dancing.
And you know, really, as far as the quarterback play goes, you know, you almost have to give Mississippi State a shot because Ole Miss, you know, their quarterback was shaky anyway, but he's gone. Alabama doesn't have one. Their quarterback is up, you know, in question. LSU, they're LSU when it comes to the quarterback spot. You don't know what they're going to have. They haven't had one in a while. So, and then, again, another dark horse on that side, Arkansas. Arkansas finished season last year strong. They win a lot of the ball games that they played last year. You know, break here, break there. They could have upset some more teams last year, finished with a better record. So,
absolutely.
But I think it'll probably be, if things go the way they should go, it'll probably be Georgia against Alabama. And and I think Alabama will probably win that championship game and win that conference.
Well, thank you, T-Rock, for finally spitting it out. I know you were trying to figure out a nice way to say it, but, it's a tough choice. I understand that. So we're going to ask
I said it hurts me, but I try to keep it.
I know, particularly since Zachariah was so nice to you about Ohio State. You know, that's apples and oranges. However, we want to let's let Zachariah stew in his own juices for just a minute, and let's hear from Mr. 411. What say you, Tyrone?
Well, the SEC. What can we say? This is the most intense. It's the most exciting conference. I mean, teams have a deep fan base across this conference. So every weekend it's a battle, it's a war. I have the UGA Bulldogs. I have been winning the Eastern Division this year. Most years I don't pick them to win it. But I'm going to pick them this year. I'm picking UGA. They're going to win this division. And last year it was Missouri. However, Missouri last season had a favorable schedule. They faced, like, teams that were struggling last year, like Texas A&M and Arkansas.
Okay.
And so they were able to take advantage of that situation. And also Georgia. They didn't play to their standard. To the standard that Georgia believes they should be in. And that just led the way for Missouri to take the Eastern Division, but not this year. They're going to run the man called Nick Chubb. Chubb Rock. Chubb is going to dominate this year. I don't see anybody in the East beating them. However, October 31st versus the Florida Gators, that is always an unpredictable matchup. But I have Georgia pulling it out this year. Now, as far as the Western Division, it's all about the Tide, roll Tide, mm-hmm. as they say. And Alabama, you know, this team is reloaded. Nick Saban has done it again. He's bringing in recruits after recruit after recruit. They really don't need great quarterback play. You know, they don't really just roll quarterbacks in and out of there, you know, roll to the NFL with any significance. You know, mm-hmm. the last one I can remember is Ken Stabler, rest his soul. And but on the defensive end, they have one of the top front sevens in the league. They last season they held teams to 3.2 yards per rush. That's the number one defensive stat in the SEC last season. They're bringing back Anshon Robinson. He's 6'4", 312 pounds, and they're just going to stymie people. Now, my dark horse team is Mississippi State because I believe the best player in the SEC is Doak Prescott, their quarterback. This is his third season. Last year, he accounted for 4,435 yards, 41 touchdowns. So this man carried the load. And but the reason why they're a dark horse is because I can't say they're going to win it. And one of their downfalls is going to be losing three starters on the offensive line, and that's a total of 113 career starts. So they're going to have to fill that void. Yeah, they're going to have to fill that void. So in summary.
Okay.
Georgia versus Alabama. Alabama wins the SEC. And we also need to remember that Georgia plays Alabama October 3rd. We need to also tune in to the Iron Bowl November 28th. Let's not forget the cocktail party in Jacksonville mm-hmm. October 31st, UGA in Florida. And one other sneaky game.
We should go
to that. Mm-hmm. Hey, we should, and we should party. And one other game, September 12th, it's the second game of the year for LSU. They're at Mississippi State. That will determine if Mississippi State can make me look good as a dark horse team. So that's all I have for the SEC, Southeastern Conference. And, Zach, it is now your show.
Okay. Take a deep breath, Zachariah, and have at it.
You have 5 minutes, Zach.
I don't need that long. But
okay,
since I got
good.
5 minutes, I might as well take advantage of it.
Sure.
And, first thing
I expect nothing less.
Exactly. First thing I'm gonna say is, football fans, this is what you show up for on Saturday afternoon. Football in the Southeastern Conference, big stadiums, pretty cheerleaders, raucous crowd, great talent on the field. That is what the Southeastern Conference is all about. It's not a conference that's top-heavy where you got just one team or two teams that can possibly win a national title. You got four or five, maybe even six institutions that can go out and possibly bring home a title. It's a dogfight week in and week out. This is a great football conference. You can almost call it NFL Lite because that's what it is. You're going to hear people get on it because whenever the SEC loses, it's such a big deal because they're not used to the SEC losing. The other conferences lose all the time. But when the SEC loses, it's a big event. Everybody has to throw a party, just like last year in bowl season. SEC West didn't perform too well, and everybody had a fiesta. It was great for them.
Okay, who's going to win the conference?
Don't worry about that. You already made your predictions. I got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm
you're down to 2.5 now, Zach.
Okay. Well, yeah. We still got a little bit more time. People want to hear about this. This is what they tune in for, not for them other bum-ass conferences. They tune in for the SEC. They tune in for this.
Well, talk about them, David. It's
totally unbiased. I like it.
All right. Now, if we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this.
Sure.
The best player, not only in the SEC, but the best player actually in the nation is Nick Chubb. Trevon Boykin is going to have all those great stats. But Nick Chubb is the best player in the nation. He proved it last year that he had the potential, and this year you'll see it on the field. Best coach, as much as I hate to say it, because everybody on my dad's side of the family is an Alabama fan, but it's Nick Saban. You got to give Coach Saban that. He's earned
give,
it.
Give the devil his due, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's earned it. He is that guy right now.
Uh-huh.
Game of the year, of course, is going to be the SEC Championship. And the reason why that's the game of the year is because that game is going to put somebody into the college football playoff.
Sure.
And it's going to match up two teams that whoever loses is going to lose out on their chance to go to the college football playoff. Because I have both teams that are playing in that vying for a position to be in the national title.
And who are they?
Oh, well, we'll get to that. Expect a lot of bowl teams. Okay, I'm getting there. Expect a lot of bowl teams in the SEC. Alabama will be going bowling. Auburn's going bowling. Georgia's going bowling.
Hmm.
Tennessee will go bowling. Mississippi's going to go bowling. Arkansas is going to go bowling. And since they're trying to cut my time down, fans, I can't give you everybody else.
You take all the time you need, Zachariah.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm not putting Alabama in the SEC championship game. Everybody wants
I wouldn't either.
Give Alabama, you know, all this love, but they're going to struggle this year, in my struggle in a sense of Alabama struggle.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have any proven wide receivers right now. Derrick Henry, if you watched him when he played against Ohio State, and really most of the year last year, didn't look like anything too special. So I think they're going to have trouble running the ball consistently against the elite-level teams, and throwing the fact that they're getting a new quarterback, I don't think it's going to be all joyous down there in good old Tideland. Now,
well, I've heard that the quarterback doesn't matter. So a couple of people said that.
It's going to matter to a degree. Lane Kiffin is a brilliant offensive coordinator. So he's going to get the quarterback to play better. But once again, as we saw against Ohio State, and even when Alabama played Mississippi last year, it's going to be times when you're playing against those better teams and you're going to need somebody, your quarterback. And the fact that there's no Amari Cooper around is going to be an issue. So I got the Tide losing a couple games this year. They might even lose three games.
Ooh.
But they won't be representing the West. So
wow.
I have Auburn winning the SEC West. I think Gus Malzahn is another brilliant mind. Jeremy Johnson is going to come in and be pretty good at the quarterback position. In fact, I think he's going to be better than what Nick Marshall is because he's more of a traditional quarterback. Running game is going to be okay for them. And they have some good receivers. And the defense should be better because Muschamp is in at defensive coordinator. And though he couldn't coach offensive lick down in Florida, he's a great defensive mind. So they're going to be better. On the east side, Tennessee is up and coming, but they're probably getting a little bit too much of love. I don't think they're there yet.
They're overrated.
Oklahoma is going to smack them around a little bit when they play. Though all their fans are going to get excited for that. So Tennessee may be another year away.
Mm-hmm.
Florida still doesn't have offense yet to be able to compete with the big boys. And South Carolina has taken a step back. And I'm not even going to mention Missouri because they're just – they don't really have the horses right now, which leaves one team to win the SEC East.
Who could that be?
And that's the University of Georgia. They're going to win the SEC East and they're going to play against Auburn in the SEC Championship. Georgia's going to have 11-1 record on the season. They're going to go to Auburn and lose, unfortunately, I believe. But they're going to make up for that in the SEC Championship by winning the SEC Championship and going to the college football playoff, Georgia fans,
awesome.
And representing the University of Georgia and the great state of Georgia. So y'all get ready to take it because we're going to be in the college football playoff this year.
Hey, paint the picture.
There you go.
There you go. Well, that I'm not even going to have any rebuttals on that, gentlemen.
Wait. We got to have one or two. We
got
to have one or two.
Okay.
I have a question regarding Auburn. And I don't quite understand all the hype behind them. Now, how many games did they lose last year? Was it five?
Yeah, but last year has nothing to do with this year.
Wait. Hold on. They lost 5 total games last year.
They did.
With a quarter. But what does that have to do with this year? Well, I think there's more uncertainty this year than it was last year.
Okay, but isn't there uncertainty at
Alabama? Yeah, I think there's more uncertainty. Huh?
But isn't there uncertainty at Alabama?
Yes, I agree. But what I'm saying, though, you're saying Auburn's going to win that side. I just don't see it. I mean,
did Alabama get some secondary? I mean, did Alabama get some new defensive backs? Because they ain't been able to cover anybody for a while.
They lost
some key defensive players.
Well, everything's not about Alabama, though. What I'm talking about now is the uncertainty of Auburn. Everybody's on the Jeremy Johnson hype. He played one game against, I forgot who they played. He came in, he played late. He played some late minutes. That's uncertainty. You don't know what you're going to have there. They lost their – didn't they lose their top 2 receivers from last year?
They did, but you know what? Cordell Jones only played 3 games last year. He just happened to play 3 games and ended up winning a national title. But
that was you know what? Cordell Jones was an exception. That's not the norm. So that's why I don't expect Mr. Johnson to come in and do everything that everybody thought.
J.T. Barrett came in and played pretty good last year.
Okay.
J.T. Barrett played 10, 11 games, though. He didn't come in and play good his first 2 games.
Okay,
but did you know that he was going to play like that? I mean, this is just going off of Jeremy Johnson is a project.
Gentlemen?
Yes.
Gentlemen? And I'm only interjecting this because, you know, in the interest of moving along and saving some time, I just want to clarify what the dispute is. Is there any dispute over specifically Zachariah's prediction of UGA winning the conference?
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation. So we don't have time to show that.
No, but there are certain parts of the conversation that we can take offline and have a slugfest with them, and I will tune in for that. However, in the interest of finishing up this podcast, I would like to move on from the SEC, unless there's any other dispute, because honestly, Zachariah actually loses that battle. There are 2 votes for Bama, 1 for UGA, and Bama wins the SEC, you know, they win it on downs.
Hey, that's why we record this, Ms. Lacey, so we can come back and look at it.
and we will look at it. I have a feeling you're going to look at it a couple of times. You and T-Rock are going to bond over it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but
we'll be talking
in the interest of further pursuing our college football preview podcast presented by 411 Sports World, we'd like to move on to our top 5 coaches. And then our Heisman Trophy candidates, and then we're going to go to the meat of the entree, and go with our conference football playoff top 16. So, in order to let T-Rock and Zachariah take a moment, Mr. 411, can you get us started?
I'll get us started
on the coaches, the Heisman Trophy candidates, whichever one you feel comfortable with. Let's do this.
Well, I'm just going to touch on both, okay? As far as coaches, and this is at the collegiate level, and right now, if we're talking about the top coaches for 2015, I'm going to give you 2. I'm not going to give you 5. And
okay.
Nick Saban, Alabama. Urban Meyer, Ohio State. And it's in the reverse order of how I just said that. So that means Urban Meyer is number 1 and Saban is number 2, in my opinion, for 2015.
Okay, so we got Alabama and – no, I'm sorry. We got Ohio State and Alabama.
That's correct. And
see,
now both of them are – now both coaches are excellent at what they do.
Yes.
Saban has won titles in LSU, national titles in LSU and Alabama. Well, Meyer has won at University of Florida and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are doing it. They recruit. They know how to motivate. They can coach. They have it all covered. So those are the top 2. I have it slightly right now with Saban. I mean, I have a slight edge to Meyer.
You have Meyer in the lead at the number one position. And
exactly. Exactly.
Okay. That's actually succinct and to the point, and we appreciate that. So let's talk to T-Rock. I'm fairly certain that he's going to have the same number one position that you have, but let's see. T-Rock.
I do.
How does this shake out for you?
I got Meyer at the top, Saban too. Close. But again, we talked about today, 2015, and right now I got Urban Meyer as the number one coach and Saban as the number two. Now, there's a coach that I don't think gets enough credit. His name was mentioned earlier. But Mark D'Antonio, what he's done with Michigan State, he's really done a good job. And he doesn't necessarily get the best recruits. This year is probably his best recruiting class he's had since he's been there.
And
but
who does he go?
In past, Mark D'Antonio out of Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Yeah. But he's been very successful with average, well, I won't say average, but with three stars. He's taken a lot of three-star guys and made them great players. They've developed them, and they go on to have, you know, pretty good careers in the NFL. And like Mr. 401, I won't really say the top five or top six coaches, but those are my top two, and then that's one of my sleepers that I feel like don't get enough credit like he should.
Okay. Well, thank you for that input, T-Rock. And Zachariah, have you composed yourself?
Of course.
Okay.
I was composed in the last thing.
Are you ready to render judgment on the coaching position?
Well, Zachariah, is it okay if I just throw in a sleeper coach real quick?
Oh, go ahead.
Because I want you to have your ample time to break down the coaching ranks. I like the coach at UGA, and I have him as a sleeper coach. Now, there's some things that I've said in the past about him, but I'll tell you what, he's a leader of men, okay? And when players don't act the way they should, you know, he does something about it. And he's also a great recruiter. Mark Richt, yeah. I think that Mark Richt, it's unfortunate that, you know, a lot of the expectation has really just overshadowed what a great job he's done since he's been there. But with that said, Zach, you may carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, real quick, top five, and this is the actual order. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, Bob Stoops, Les Miles. All of those guys are very, very good coaches.
Could you repeat those one more time after Harbaugh?
Oh, okay. I'm
writing all this down
sorry.
Since I know nothing.
Oh, it's cool. Nick Saban, Alabama, Urban Meyer at Ohio State,
Jim Harbaugh
University
Michigan.
Of Michigan, Bob Stoops, University of Oklahoma, and Les Miles. Louisiana State University. Those guys are
Well, you know I love OU.
All
right.
Well, those guys are the best in the biz.
So we've got the coaching.
I'm sorry.
Sleeper.
Who's a sleeper? Somebody that probably doesn't get as much love.
No,
you know what? I'm actually going to go out and say Steve Spurrier is a sleeper because people have forgotten.
Is he in South Carolina?
How great Steve Spurrier
is. Yeah, that's a great selection there.
People have forgotten how great he is. All he does is, outside of his Florida years, is he's at Duke. He wins the ACC, which I don't think has been done since he was there, and he's been at South Carolina and has made them a better program than they've ever been in their history. So he would be my sleeper. Now, I'm going to comment on Mr. 411 sleeper that he said. I don't have any sympathy for Mark Richt.
What's his name?
Mark Richt.
Mark Richt
at the University of Georgia. I don't have any sympathy for him.
Isn't that your
team? Absolutely. He coaches at a
top 10 university easily. And
top 10,
ESPN
really?
Rankings, yes.
Okay.
ESPN does the rankings of universities, and I want to say they're 7 or 8 based on fan base, resources, recruits, what have you. Georgia, I want to say, is the 3rd or 4th best state in America as far as potential Division I athletes. That's,
oh, okay.
That's not,
sorry.
That's that fact. They are the 3rd or 4th at producing Division I athletes in America. Everybody
okay, there you go.
Georgia,
there you go. Qualifier.
He has had ample opportunity to win at the University of Georgia.
Omaha.
That's where I said it. He loses games.
Omaha.
And he shouldn't lose once or twice a year, which is an issue. So I like that he does what he's supposed to do with recruits. I like that he does what he's supposed to do with players. I like that he's a good guy and all of that stuff. But ultimately, your job as a coach is to win games. And at the University of Georgia, you need to be winning championships. And you shouldn't be playing down for your competition. You should be playing up and beating guys on a weekly basis. So he needs to get it done. And if he can't get it done, the University of Georgia needs to look to get someone in that can get it done.
Well, I tell you, man, that's you drew the line. Now that you drew the line in the sand. But hey, you said what had to be said about Rick, I would guess, but he's still an excellent coach.
Come on.
We hope he gets it done this year for you, man.
Sure.
He's a nice guy. I agree with that. He's a nice guy.
And you know what?
But
that's
very
exactly what you don't want to hear when you're dating somebody. You don't want
nice.
To be a nice guy.
Nice sucks. We all know that. Yeah. All righty then. So have we exhausted our coaching critiques? Are we ready to move on to Heisman Trophy candidates?
Well, I got one question about Spurrier. About I got one question about Zach Spurrier.
Sure.
How long has he's been at South Carolina? What now? About 8, 9, 10 years.
He's been there for a while now. Yep.
Yeah. How many SEC championship games have he played in?
He hasn't won any, but this is where I would go back to resources, like with Rick. Some places you're not going to win a national championship. That's just the truth, like at Vanderbilt. You're not going to win a title there. Same thing with Northwestern. You're not going to win a national championship there because you just can't get in the type of athletes and everything that you need. South Carolina is a good school, but if you look at the state, they don't have great recruits in the state. They're probably not going to pull guys from Georgia like that or, you know, any place else to really get individuals in. I think South Carolina is going to go down a lot once he's not there. And I think he's proven his resume because when he took over Florida, when Urban Meyer went to Florida, Florida wasn't like what it was when Spurrier took it over. Florida was coming off of sanctions and everything. Excuse me. Spurrier built up Florida. So he's a guy that doesn't get credit. And believe me, I'm not somebody that really wants to toot Spurrier's horn because he caused Georgia tremendous problems. But he is a great offensive mind.
Hmm.
Really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well yeah, I was just curious about it. I mean, I don't really feel the same about him. I think he was good at Florida. But really, South Carolina, I mean, I think they brought him in with higher expectations, and he's won games, but he really hasn't been overly impressive to me. And really, since he's been there, he's just – I mean, I know South Carolina has been a powerhouse, and they're not a powerhouse now. They've won more games since he's been there, but he just – I don't think he's done what he was brought in to do. And I don't think he's going to get it done before he retires, so – but that's not to take away the fact that he's a good coach. But
yeah, that's why he's a sleeper. That's good.
Yeah, I think
good stuff,
he's sleeping.
Good stuff. So, are we going to talk about Heisman Trophy
yes.
candidates tonight? Or
yes, we are.
Is it too soon?
Sure. Oh, we can go ahead. You want me to start?
This should be real quick.
Okay, sure.
You want me to start?
Who wants to get that started? Would that be Zachariah?
I'll go. Absolutely. my five guys are Ezekiel Elliott out of Ohio State, Trayvon Morgan out of TCU, Cody Kessler out of USC, Nick Chubb out of University of Georgia, and JT Barrett out of Ohio State. My winner would be Trayvon Boykin, and simple reason is he should be able to put up Tecmo Bowl numbers with TCU's offense this year, and they're going to win 11 or 12 ball games, so he'll have everything he needs to win, I believe.
So Heisman, Boykin, TCU.
All right. My top five.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My top five, Ezekiel Elliott, Ohio State, JT Bear, Ohio State, Joey Bosa, Ohio State,
ooh,
Nick Chubb, UGA, and Boykin from TCU.
Okay.
And my Heisman winner, Mr. Ezekiel Elliott.
Elliott, and that would be Ohio State?
The Ohio State, yeah.
The Ohio State.
Yeah,
I'm going to call it some other things. That's all right. All right, Mr. 411, do you have a Heisman Trophy list and winner?
Okay, well, here's my list. I have Trayvon Boykin from TCU, the quarterback, high-powered offense. He should throw for over 4,000 yards, and he'll probably rush for over 600. Doak Prescott, Mississippi State. Let's not forget that he is Mississippi State, and he will just basically carry that entire team. Now, I have a triple effect in Ohio State with Barrett and Cardale Jones. They're both going to get on the field. They're both going to cancel each other out. And then Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to have a great season. His last three rushing outings, if you all are ready for this, 220 yards, 230 yards, and 246 yards. And that was not
outstanding.
And that was not during the first three games of the season versus, you know,
high school
teams.
Mm-hmm.
These games were in the Big Ten championship game, the Sugar Bowl, and the national championship game. So he had to do that against some competition. And with the latter against an SEC
like
team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem there is Ohio State, those guys will cancel each other out. So my Heisman Award winner is a guy out of UGA, and it's the one time that in playing the running back position, it's okay to be chubby. Nick Chubb, he's going to win the Heisman Award. He's going to run for over 1,800 yards. He's probably going to average about 9 yards a carry. He should get in the end zone at least 10 to 11 times and will win the Heisman Award.
Okay, so
Mr. 411, I can only hope he averages 9 yards a carry, gets 1,800 yards.
That's a lot.
I don't see it, but, hey, thank you for wishing that upon us.
For that vote of confidence. There you go.
I see it.
Well, you know what? He's just yelling
around
for 1,800
an answer,
yards,
damn it.
That's right.
But
Heisman, we're the panel is split three ways. We got Boykin out of TCU, we've got Elliott out of Ohio State, and we've got Chubb out of UGA. So we'll have to see toward the end of the season how that shakes out.
Hey,
however,
Ms. Lacy.
Yes?
Hey, I just want to say that, you know, there was a worry at the beginning of the show that I would not be objective, but if you look at somebody's pick, everything is sure leaned towards Ohio State on everything.
I do have to say that he is consistent. T-Rock is consistent. When your team is the defending champion, you got to be excused for doubling down on it. You know, I'm going to give him some latitude here. And just leave it at that. Now, when all of this, you know, hits like a ton of bricks and Ohio State doesn't repeat, then we can talk about it. But for right now, they're the defending champions, so they can do no wrong.
Sounds good.
Now, we have come to the main course of the main event. it is our conference football playoffs. I just learned that term today. And we're going to talk about, everybody's going to have to predict. We were talking about top six or top four. And let's put the difference in. Let's everybody give the top five. Starting with our special guest, Mr. T-Rock.
T-Rock.
Top five. Number
top
one.
Five.
I can't wait to hear
the Ohio State University. Number two.
Are these in no particular order or in order of
no,
one
it's, two? It's one to five, top to five.
Okay.
Ohio State, number one. Number two, I got TCU. Number three, I have, this is tough right here.
UGA.
No, I didn't have UGA there. Number three, I got. I'm gonna have to go with the contestants and go with Alabama.
Bama.
Number four, I have USC. And number five to round it out, I have Michigan State.
Okay. Michigan State. So you got Ohio State, TCU, Bama, USC, and Michigan State.
Yes, ma'am.
Heard it first here from T-Rob. What say you, Mr. 411?
Wow. Well. I'm going to twist it up a little bit, okay? Because this is all combining, right? We're including who's going to advance, right? If I'm not mistaken, right, we're talking about championships and everything too, right?
We're talking about the top five, yes.
Okay. Well, my top five, Ohio State.
Is that number one? Or number,
number
five?
Number one. That's okay. Number one. Then we have University of Alabama.
Alabama.
We're gonna
keep
have
going.
Well, I got another one here. We're going to go with UGA.
UGA number three?
What?
Yeah.
What? Wait.
Should I use a pencil or?
No, that's good.
Is that your pick? Okay.
And TCU.
TCU comes in at number four.
And then Oregon.
And Oregon.
I'm sorry. USC. Sorry.
Is it Oregon or is it USC, or are we going to have like a...
It's USC at number five.
Oregon would have been your number six pick.
That's
wait, now I got...
Which doesn't count. Was that T-Rock?
Yeah, I just got one real quick question about 2 and 3. Now, you know they played each other twice. Well, they probably played each other twice.
Yeah.
So... one of them is going to lose at least one, possibly both games. But you still have them at the 2 and 3 spots?
Yeah, that's where I have them.
You talking about Bama and UGA?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
where I have
them. They're playing the regular season, and they'll probably
play. Oh, okay, I see. What T-Rock is saying is that mathematically, Bama
yeah,
and UGA can't be number 2 and 3.
I understand that.
I understand that.
They play October 12th, and then they're going
to
play in December. They're going
to
play October 12th, and they're going to play in October 3rd, and they're going to play in December.
Uh-huh.
But this is the way I see it. I know TCU, they're going to be there. But, you know, there's also a thing that I'm just looking at here with strength of schedule and stuff like that. So this is just
right.
The way, you know, I see it breaking down. But,
right.
I mean, these four teams are going to still figure out a way to play in that championship series. And then they have USC and Oregon on the outside.
Okay, but – all right, but T-Rock had a valid point that you know –
No, he didn't. Good job, Mr. 411. Don't listen to
and UGA mathematically
no,
are not able to finish that way.
No, he didn't.
Why not?
Mr. 411, apparently you are absolutely done.
If they both lose one game, they both have a shot.
Uh-huh. Okay. We've heard from you. Go sit down. All right, Zach. Come on. Let's justify all of this nonsense. Let's
okay,
do this.
Now can I get clarification?
Sure.
Are we picking our teams that we think are going to be in the college football playoff, or are we just giving a top five, or are we picking who our national championship is right or champion is right now?
Within the confines of our broadcast, we are picking the conference football playoff top five. Now, I'm
right.
not sure how you would take that because I don't know much about college, but I think
right,
that you're picking the people
okay.
that are the top five people that are in line to win the championship. That is the way that I saw it.
Right.
If you see it differently,
top five
let me know.
At the end of the season.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
My team that I have on the outside wanting someone to stumble
mm-hmm.
is going to be Clemson.
Okay, so you're starting
so,
with number five.
Yes, Clemson is on the outside. If any of these four teams stumble, they will be more than happy to take their spot. At number four, I have USC.
USC.
At number three, I have the University of Georgia.
Oh.
Number
okay.
two, I have Texas Christian University, which is better known as TCU.
TCU, gotcha.
And at number one, I have a team in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
I could read between those lines. I understand why you are not able to say it.
The Akron Drips.
You'd have to use some mouthwash. I got you.
Let
but
me
there
help
you
out.
Have it. The
Let
the
me
consensus, the unanimous number one is Ohio State. TCU gets two out of three votes.
Now, that's not who I have winning national championship, though.
Oh, no. That wasn't the question. That's for another podcast, I believe. I don't believe that was in the script.
No, that's
stick
for this
to
one.
The script here.
That's for this one.
Yeah.
It's the last section. It's the last one. Yeah.
Now, if anyone wants to go out on the limb at this point,
I do,
and project a winner, I feel like I can put it. I can write a T-Rock's choice in ink.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. Mr. 411 is always a wild card, which means he's always going to say something ridiculous. You know, I'm just
not
kidding.
Not I.
Oh yeah. That's really the way that shakes out.
Okay, Mr. 411 has been outstanding today. And
well,
of course you do, because he said some ridiculous things. That are
yeah,
in your
but
favor.
I'm gonna say something right here that is really gonna throw everybody.
Won't throw me.
Well, I have in the Cotton Bowl, UGA versus Alabama. That's the 2-3 matchup.
Means nothing.
And in the 1-4 matchup at the Orange Bowl, Ohio State and TCU.
Uh-huh.
Then I have Ohio State defeating Alabama, and they'll finish out with a perfect season.
I'm confused.
Hey, I like that just a 4-1-1.
Now we like that.
Yeah, they're bonding. Give them a moment.
Hey, you know what, Lacey? Hey, you
yeah.
were right. He does say some outrageous things. And you
come back to the fold, my son.
Saying.
Yes. I've tried to tell you about Mr. 411. He's got some issues. I believe he has some substance abuse problems, honestly. I really do. He's erratic.
Mark it down, my friends.
Okay. Well.
So do you want to go T-Rock or do I need to go?
I mean, you already know my answer, I think.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State's going to play TCU in a championship game, and Ohio State's going to win.
So we're going back-to-back for T-Rock.
Hey, you got Ohio
at
State?
At Ohio State.
Playing TCU.
Okay. I can understand that.
So I'm sorry, T-Rock. Could you repeat that? Who is in the, whatever you call it in college, the final bowl?
College football playoff.
Who is in the championship game?
Championship
is it Ohio,
game I got.
It's Ohio State and who?
TCU.
Ohio State and TCU.
With the Buckeyes rolling.
T-Rock. Ohio State versus TCU. Okay. I think we all know how you're going to say that's going to turn out. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Well,
outside of the college football playoff, actually the Peach Fiesta, Rose, and Sugar Bowl are important bowls for individuals to go to. And my 8 teams going to those bowls are Clemson, Auburn, Michigan State, Baylor, UCLA, Alabama, Georgia Tech, and Boise State.
Okay.
So in some combination, those teams will play each other against each other in those 4 big bowls.
That's very
cool. Of course, yes, it is. And as far as the college football playoff, 1-4, Ohio State versus USC. Ohio State should win that one. I'll say not a blowout, but fairly easy with anywhere from a 10 to 14 point win. Then we got a 2 TCU versus UGA. I see Georgia rolling all over them by about
TCU, really?
7.
Okay.
Absolutely. The TCU defense isn't that great this year. They lost some individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But their offense will be spectacular. But I see Georgia putting no big offensive lineman that is the third best offensive line in the nation on them. And they went anywhere. I'll go same thing, 10 to 14 points. And then we're going to have Ohio State versus the University of Georgia.
Ah.
And to my dismay, things are not going to turn out how I would like them to turn out. So.
Okay. But you make it to the big dance. UGA versus Ohio State.
Yeah.
That is a prediction.
Hey, you know what? Fight. Winner of that game is going to be.
Is that I've been working on the railroad? That's what it's called.
Yeah, that's what it is.
University of Georgia wins the 2015 National Championship.
Of course.
You heard it here first, Dan.
I did. That is really the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, that's probably the other place you're going to hear it.
Let's let Mr. 411 weigh in. Just to see if his picks resemble, let's see which direction he goes in, because I feel like because we are kind of deadlocked, I feel like Mr. 411 is going to be the swing vote, and he will however he votes will carry the day. Come on,
well,
Mr. 411, the weather's
fine. That was a nice pop, Zach.
He just fell off the bed and woke up. Yeah.
I give you credit on that. That was nice. Very, very innovative. well, I like the teams that Zach did mention, though, that's going to be playing in the other bowls as well.
He mentioned a lot of teams.
Yeah, but my team, Boise State, they're going to play in the Fiesta Bowl. They're going to beat Oregon. In the Rose Bowl, USC. Well, it's just another important bowl games.
I'm trying to write stuff down.
Okay. Those are big bowls.
Okay.
And in the Rose Bowl, USC, Michigan State. I have Michigan State winning that. So that's a win for the Big Ten. But I have, in my Final Four, I have Ohio State over TCU. And I have Alabama over Georgia, and I have Ohio State defeating Alabama. So I have Ohio State winning it all.
You have Ohio State
and
Alabama.
He just said that BS. I don't know why we didn't say it twice.
I mean, I was getting a little bit confused because, you know, it all kind of runs together for me. But, okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
For the final, for the big dance, for all the marbles, for the back-to-back, we have Ohio State. In a repeat situation, according to the majority of our panel.
Oh, hey, I'm sorry, Ms. Lacey. Can I just add one
absolutely
more for the fans to hear? Because
sure.
Mr. 411 told you that Ohio State was a unanimous AP number one. With the AP poll, every preseason selection with 90% of the vote since 1975 has not won the national championship.
Well,
that's a great stat.
Good information to have.
That sounds real good, Mr. Zach.
But the only problem with that is that is not a stat that said that who's going to win in 2015. So we will find out.
Well, there isn't one, but I feel like we got good information. I feel
yeah.
we have had a for the most part, a fair and balanced panel. You know, there's certain biases that were kind of disclosed throughout the conversation, but I feel like it was a fair and balanced presentation. I feel like that the audience should be well. It should now be well informed. I feel like I'm well informed, and I think I'm picking Baylor. I'm just saying.
Well, you have a shot.
But I enjoyed it. I feel like I learned some things. And that's a wrap, fellas. Anybody have any parting remarks?
Well, I appreciate you.
I do have a question for Mr. Zach. I know she said that Georgia had the third best offensive
line. Haven't we gone over our time?
Well, I feel like we have a couple of moments left for some final words from our panel, because we probably won't be together again in this format until let's say December, you know, so we can see how all this shook out. And how all these predictions panned out, because we will have to have an accounting for this.
Oh no, we're gonna see each other for the opening kickoff of college football weekend.
No, we're going to see each other. You know, we're going to see each other again. But for these in our predictions for the season.
Hey, I'm gonna talk to my agent, because the show does not protect me like it should. We're gonna have a negotiation.
Go ahead,
T-Rock.
Zachariah,
go ahead.
I feel like as a UGA fan, you have had more than ample opportunity to present your case. Flimsy as it is, you have had that opportunity. And we support you. We support you 100%. I would like for you to be right. I would like for that to happen. But Ms. T-Rock is our special correspondent and to sit in with us tonight, so I would like to give everybody about 30 seconds for their parting thoughts. Beginning with you, Iwa.
Well, I just had one other question about the I was just wondering where Mr. Zach got the information regarding the top offensive lines in the nation.
I'm feeling that that's not so much of a parting.
I got that from Phil Steele, who does a great analysis.
As a parting shot,
all the teams
feels like.
Heavily.
Well. Who was number one and two?
I don't remember. Ohio State was four.
Again,
Ohio State
feel
was
like,
behind Georgia.
Doesn't feel like we're leaving on a high note.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's all I had.
And Georgia had the number one backfield, also. By the way,
I'd like to point out that there will be time after the broadcast. After the podcast, to step outside. Take it outside.
Phil Steele's SEC bias.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fair.
So,
take your 30 seconds there, T-Rock.
Does that settle things for you?
Yeah. Dope up.
Good job, T-Rock. Thank you very much. And Mr. 411, have you anything to add to
Keep an eye on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and also my Boise State Broncos. Everyone have a good night.
Uh-huh. And Zachariah.
Mark Rick, don't fuck us over this year. Get it done. We've been waiting. Get it done. Go dog.
All right. Well, leaving on a high note, maybe? I'm not sure if that was a high note. It felt more like a threat, but hopefully Mark is not listening and doesn't feel threatened. But that's okay. I feel like we got everything accomplished that we intended to accomplish tonight. And thank you all for hanging in there with us and listening. I hope you learned some things. I hope you got some information that will help you in your fantasy pursuits, or just if you're just a fan. I hope this all helps. You all have a good evening, and thank you very much from 411 Sports World. We appreciate your business. Thank you. Good night.
Go Bucks.